Hi, this is Zoe Durand, and I'm a family lawyer and mediator, and you're listening to the Inside Family Law podcast. This podcast is presented by Mediation Answers in partnership with Artwork and Lawyer Magic. Over the course of these episodes, I will take you on a 360-degree deep dive into all aspects of the family law process by talking with some of the greatest minds in family. I'm hoping that through this podcast, we can really encourage interdisciplinary conversations and perspectives that allow us to go deeper into what is really going on in the family law process, and that also make us more curious in our approaches to family law and how we do what we do every day. I'm Zoe Durand, and I am here live at the Pacifica Congress Conference. We're here in Hobart for 2023, and I'm here with one of the fabulous presenters. Do you want to introduce yourself and what you do?
Hi Zoe, I'm honored to be here today in beautiful Tasmania at the Pacifica Congress Family Law Conference, learning from experts like lawyers, judges, family report writers. It has been quite an enriching experience, and I'm so excited to present next. My name is Olia Pileo, and I'm the founder of Supervised Family Contact Services called Children in Focus. My team and I provide an opportunity for separating families and their children to reconnect, to stay safe, build trust, strengthen the bond, and avoid further allegations while the court determines the outcome of their matter. We provide detailed report after each visit, which can be used in court proceedings to show the dynamics of the relationship. We are not just observers, we are facilitators of positive change. We make our clients feel comfortable in this difficult situation. So please reach out to us if you need assistance with supervised visits.
So look, I mean, obviously in family law, and most people listening to this podcast are in family law in some way, obviously familiar with, supervised contact centres. Do you want to, talk through a bit maybe about the process, how it works, sort of what the time, because I know for a lot of people time is an issue in terms of there's often delays if you're going through sort of other processes. how would someone get into your centre and how long does it take and what can they expect from the whole process? Just to describe it.
So at Children in Focus, we can schedule a visit within 1 week and parents can apply through either online. Their lawyers or psychologists or mediators can recommend them to our service. And once they complete the application form, we get in touch with them and do the risk assessment. So I'd say within a week we can do the visit. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty fast.
And how does it work? So, for example, on a visit, is it you can go anywhere, like a public place, park, whatever, movies, and what the supervisor sort of comes along, or how does it all work?
Yes, at Children in Focus, we are private service, so we are based in the community, and that's the beauty of it. So we can go to the movies, like I've already seen Barbie movie 5 times, and we go to the zoo, yes, we as long as there is safe to do so and no risk. And we'll take them to the park, to the library. It just depends where they want to go, where child's friendly and child safety, our priority. We also actually once been to Harry Styles concert as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
pretty lucky.
Perks of the job.
And so how do you explain, one thing I'm always curious, like how do you explain to the children like who you are and what your role is? Like, because one of the fears I have, and I'm not being critical, but the reason I'm raising this is so we can get all the just concerns people have dispelled or addressed. You know, like when you get a sort of contact service provider, a lot of the clients I've had are saying, oh, but it's going to be artificial. The kids are going to be like, who is this random person? Or how, like, do you explain to the children who you are, or how do you do all that?
Yeah, sure. So usually we leave it up to the parents and we ask if there has been any discussion prior. Sometimes they choose to call us neutrally, either auntie or family friend, if they don't want to traumatize the child any further or let them know what's going on. But some parents, usually in cases where children actually fearful to go see their parent, they would know that we are the supervisor and they do call us the supervisor. And to settle the children into the contact, we do the meet and greet session first, where we discuss the process, we explain to them what's happening, and if they are fearful, we might think of a sort of security, safety word. If they're uncomfortable, they might say it to us and we'll take them and have a discussion what's happening, and if there is anything, we will intervene, and keeping the children safe, basically.
So what does happen if there is something, like, say there is a parent that does start to say really inappropriate things to a child, like, do you intervene and say that we've got to, can you terminate the time? Like, how does it all work? Or do they get a warning? What happens?
Yeah, it depends what sort of things they're doing. Obviously, if it's, if they start hitting the child, definitely it's going to be instant termination. But if they're just making comments about moms,
yeah, and
denigrating the mom, we might say, excuse me, can I have a quick chat to you outside or in the other room, so away from the child's hearing, and we'll just explain this kind of communication is not appropriate, so please don't discuss mom. Yeah. And see if they start doing it again, then we might just say, well, I have to actually terminate the visit. It doesn't seem like you're getting the point. Have a think about it, and hopefully for next time, for next visit, you'll be more prepared.
And now, just a couple of words about Lawyer Magic, a one-day course on the secret sauce to law practice scale up. We demystify all the parts around being a lawyer that you actually need to know to thrive in law, but usually no one teaches you. The three pillars to Lawyer Magic are the law of attraction, being magnetic, branding, marketing, and positioning yourself as an expert, the honeymoon phase, drawing clients to you, networking, building referral chains, keeping the spark alive, keeping clients happy along the whole journey and getting paid seamlessly, but in a way that clients understand the value of your work. Nicole Evans said, Zoe and Roey were fantastic. They tailored this course around our firm and our needs. We all took away a lot of practical tips and new ideas to implement on a day-to-day basis. We believe the real magic happens by identifying what is naturally unique about you, including your special passions, and showing how to amplify and communicate this. Exhibit A, hopefully, like I'm doing in this podcast. And what about the reports? I'm always curious, I guess, what's in the reports, like, because that for some clients, that's what makes them feel safe about it, because they go, well, I'll get the report, I get to see how the time's going. Well, other clients, I guess the parents sometimes going on it, sometimes they like it too, because they go, well, I'm glad I'll have the reports, and then people will see I'm not doing anything wrong. And then for some parents, they get self-conscious, they're like, oh, are they going to try and trip me up or put something in the reports? Like, what goes in the reports and what doesn't, and how does that all get done?
Okay, in the reports, what goes in the reports, everything that we see and observe, so all the objective observation goes straight into report. So how they present for the visit, how what they talk about, if they denigrate the parent, if they actually positively speak about the other parent, their interactions, communications, something that is significant and relevant for the court to know or make a decision or to understand the relationship between the parent and the child. And we don't trip anyone up. We actually tell the clients up front that I know it's awkward, we're going to observe you, but try to do your best, relax, do your parenting as you normally do. We're not here to police you. Mm-hmm. We're here for you to have a good time with your child. But if you do something inappropriate, then we'll let you know, we'll step in, and we'll point it out to you. So reports, yeah, as I said, objective, factual observations. We don't put any opinions, no recommendations. It's pure what we observe. Mm-hmm. So whatever they say will be in the report.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever see families, I guess, go through that journey where they, you know, there is the contact supervision, you know, there is that kind of like a graph to kind of get the family to the next stage, and then they are able to go on to having time that's not supervised? Like, how does it all, do you see that process where they move through that, you know, and then they maybe, the other parent gets reassurance that they need, or maybe they, you know, they can build that trust through, you know what I mean, having that time supervised and then go on to having non-supervised time? Like, is that how it kind of can flow through?
You know, it depends, I'd say, what the agenda is of the family. Some moms, literally, I say moms because majority of dads are supervised, some moms would just want to be reassured. They want to read a couple of reports just to see dad is looking after the kids well, let's say feeding, changing nappies, picking up on kids' cues and emotionally comforting them. So she wants to be reassured. Then yes, this visit we'll see go like progress pretty fast. But if there are some other issues and it's sort of high conflict, litigious matter, then it's not going to go away pretty fast.
So they can be supervision for a long time.
It can be, even if the other parent is doing real well and the report is really positive. Just you could feel the other side is making it difficult for the supervised parent to move forward. Does it answer your question?
Yeah, no, it does. Because I always think it's the way I look about it, maybe it's not the reality because I'm Mary Poppins about this, but I think I see it as like the supervision is kind of building that trust whilst they're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like one parent is, I don't say proving, but like one parent is showing to the other parent they can't. Or if they're not, then they're learning things, like, because you will intervene and say, hey, don't say that, or hey, you don't. And they might, and the parent that is being supervised might get feedback from the reports and go, oh, because it's almost like a mirror, right?
Absolutely.
Like you're getting a mirror back of your own behavior actions. And then they might go, I did say that, or I did do that, okay, I'll try and, you know, do it differently next time. And so it's kind of like building that trust, whether that's rightly or wrongly, but one parent doesn't trust the other parent. They get the reports, that builds the trust. Maybe one parent could do things better. They get the reports, they learn how to do it better from the feedback, you know? So I sort of look at it in that way, and then they kind of move through it to not be supervised. But
absolutely,
maybe it should take
yes.
a long time for some families, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, what you're saying, that's actually like the main point for parents to reflect once they read the report. And yeah, for example, they constantly asking the child, kiss me, or do you love me, like they asking for this validation. And when they read the report, or maybe, that's a bit too much. I'm seeking love from the little kid. Or maybe the lawyer will point it out to them.
Yeah, because they get feedback from their lawyer.
Not to do that. And yeah, if they get that feedback, or we might also have a chat to them, just, this is what I observed. This is probably not the best way to go forward with the child. Try to focus on them, what their interests are.
You can give them some sort of feedback.
We do, yes, yeah. We try to assist as much as possible. Of course, it's difficult for them. Imagine being supervised by some stranger. Yeah, so we try to make it as easy as possible for them. And yeah, if need be, give some guidance, some feedback, yeah.
And now a few words about Artwork, where we bring art to your place of work. As some of you might know, away from the law, I have pursued a passion for art, exhibiting in London, Sydney, Melbourne, throughout China, and at a contemporary show in the Louvre in Paris. I'm now sharing my love of art and creativity with workplaces. I'd love to hear from you if you would be interested in team bonding art lessons, curated pieces for your office, or making your next corporate event a showstopper with a piece of art created live for your guests. I'm also interested in any of the other ideas you might have about how to inject creativity into your place of work and shake things up, hopefully in a good way. The benefit of working with me is that uniquely I am both an artist and a lawyer, so I have an understanding of the law firm corporate events context and can chew the fat with your guests about law, life, art, and my creative process whilst I create your special piece for your firm. Bronwyn O'Lone said, "This was truly an amazing experience. We keep getting comments from those that joined us on our special evening about how inspiring it was to watch you create such beautiful art. The memories will live on in the artwork, which will be hung proudly in our meeting space." So how does it, do you mind me asking just about practicalities, like how much does it cost for supervision, or you know, how does it what areas in Sydney do you go to, or is it interest? Where does it? How does it all work?
So children in focus, we operate in Sydney, all metropolitan areas, and we also travel to Wollongong and Gosford, mm-hmm. Central Coast. And the fees, so Monday to Friday would be 110 per hour, inclusive of GST, and Saturday, Sunday would be 145. So mm-hmm. in that sort of
range,
there will be also a report fee and the travel fee if you need to go
far.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about, I guess to be, because I'm interested in this, to be a contact service provider or to supervise time, what are the qualifications you need, or mm-hmm. is it social worker? Does someone go into that? What's their background normally?
So we want our staff to be qualified in some sort of way. It's either certificate, diploma or bachelor, and we prefer to be either in social workers, community workers, teachers. We have counselors as well, and we have two lawyers. So we try to have people who have been through some education process, and
related
we want
to families,
them related to families, absolutely, and understand conflict as well. Mm-hmm. And we also train them on domestic violence and coercive control. And I take personally my staff on the visits with me and to show them what's happening, so they can learn by observing first. Yeah.
One thing I'm sort of curious about, because this is no criticism of supervision in general, but just pushes and pulls of economics. In a way, it's kind of parents paying for the service, right? Whether they either share the fee or one parent pays it. And sometimes in sort of capitalist models, I think it's capitalism, but the payer kind of has the power. What we're here though for kids as well.
Absolutely.
So how does that work in terms of making sure that we're, with you at your centre, sort of protecting children or empowering children when they're not the payer? Do you know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, and clients sometimes do tell us, I paid for you. You better put this in the report the way I want it. And we say, excuse me, no, our client is the child, and we're here to make sure we do everything in the best interest of the child. Basically, if you're gonna show us this attitude, you might as well go somewhere else. We don't take stuff like that from clients, so we put them back in their place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just zero tolerance of abuse and requests.
We're paying you need to do this for me. I'm paying. Whereas you're but actually we're here to protect children
and
make sure children have a good time. And not that you're not trying to support parents and being good parents, but the core focus has really got to be the children.
Yeah, and that's the name of our organization, Children in Focus. So
and hopefully then you keep the clients and attract the clients that are aligned to that. So that's a good thing.
That's right. Yeah, and they usually oh, really? they act surprised. You're not gonna do what I'm asking you to do. No, and we explain them nicely. This is the process. This is how we do it. I understand you're paying for it, but you're paying for the service to see your child. And then you can use the reports in court, and hopefully they show good progress of your relationship with the children, how you're bonding, how you're engaging. So there are benefits for you. But if you tell me what to do, it's going to go in the report too. So be careful. It's not off the record.
Anything else in terms of that you want to add for lawyers to bear in mind or clients, when booking supervised contact, anything important?
I'd say that court orders, if the matter referred to us, the specific court orders we prefer that says as time agreed by the supervised contact agency, so we are the one actually setting the time, because if they choose the prime time that every other family chooses, and we don't have that time, it means they technically have the right not to bring the children at the time they have agreed to with the other parent, and it's in the orders, let's say 9 to 11, and we don't have that time, so it has to say that
for two hours.
Service chooses the time and the hours, because we had parents say, well, you don't have availability means I don't have to bring my children, but they don't understand that actually order wants parent to see the children, the other parent to see the children.
So
they, leave it to say that at a time not you know nominated by the supervisor.
Has to be nominated by the supervisor, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. All right, thanks very much. And where can people reach you?
Oh, people can find us on the website, childrenandfocus.com.au, or on Instagram, Children and Focus as well. Yes.
Thanks very much. Thanks for chatting.
Thank you, Zoe.
I'll have links below this interview to both Pacifica Congress Conference and to Children in Focus. Thank you.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Inside Family Law. I hope you got a lot out of it and that it has sparked a lot of questions and conversations that you'll keep having with your colleagues in the area. If you do want to stay connected with me, then please reach out on LinkedIn. You can find me, I'm Zoe Duran, or you can reach me on Instagram at Mediation Answers. My website is www.mediationanswers.com.au. If you have any fabulous ideas for a podcast interview, then please be in touch with me. Also, if you would like me to cover your family law conference, for example, or any other conference or event, I'm more than happy to discuss if this would work. So please also do reach out. Thanks very much, and I hope you listen in next time.